Well, our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Listen now to this froggy voice as I share with you the story of the birth of Jesus, our Messiah. Thank you for your patience with it. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, the scriptures last week focused on Mary and Elizabeth. So now this week, Joseph enters the scene. Let's listen to some of Mary's thoughts as she's dealing with her mysterious pregnancy and preparing to travel all the way to Bethlehem with Joseph.
"There will be no donkey, especially not a little one. I'm 8.5 months pregnant now. I couldn't swing my leg over its back, let alone if it actually had a saddle. Without it, I'd fall off. And if I stayed on, the donkey's walking might trigger my contractions. Now, if only Joseph could afford that camel. But Joseph can't afford a camel, so I'm going to walk 80 miles, 80 pregnant miles, to register and pay these herd taxes. I don't know what it'll be like. And since Joseph left the town when he was just a toddler, he can't remember it either. I ask you, would any one of you who are women want to walk 80 miles when your time, it has become your time to give birth? And who knows where? I mean, to a child who is the source of..." "This child will be the controversy of the entire world forever. I mean, when I was a girl, I used to love playing practical jokes, but this is a little out of control. All our neighbors will roar with laughter and say to my mother, 'Where does that girl get her sense of humor from?' Sometimes when I think of the mess Joseph and I are in, I smile to myself and I realize I get my sense of humor from my maker."
God, our maker, has a sense of humor. We might wonder about that, but just take a look at the platypus, for instance, and we can confirm that, yes, God must have a sense of humor. I think it's adorable. But where does God's sense of humor shine in Advent? In the straggly shepherds approaching the manger? Among the many animals surrounding Christ's birthing station? Humor during Advent? It sounds contradictory, doesn't it? Almost sacrilegious. But they say the best relationships, and this is what God wants, what God wants to be in relationship with us. God's always pursuing us to be in a deeper relationship with us. And they say with any relationships, the best relationships are those where at least one of the people in the relationship, when there's tension or arguments or controversy, when one can step back and see the humor in the tenseness of the situation, and then use that humor to provide a sense of hope and healing for the future, those are the relationships that last. God's hope came to earth in a humble, confusing, almost humorous way of a birth, and showed us through the way of Jesus what the kingdom of God looks like. Now, Meister Eckhart, a medieval philosopher and mystic, saw Mary's assent, her consent, to give birth to the Son of God as a crucial moment. Eckhart wrote that we all flow out of God, our Creator. God is perpetually creating us. We are living in the mind of God and always being stretched and shaped. Eckhart said, Mary gives spiritual birth to God, and now God is eternally born through humans. Every good soul that longs for God bears God and gives birth to God. Well, that's pretty deep, isn't it? Meister Eckhart's writings are very deep, and they take a while to ponder. But think about it. We talked about this in seminary, how Mary, another name for her was called Theotokos. And this is actually what the Eastern Orthodox Church uses for an icon, for the Theotokos, which is Greek for God-bearer. And some of the patriarchal culture at that time had a really hard time with the idea of a woman bearing God and given this high status. But Meister Eckhart says we all bear God out into the world. Theotokos is Greek, and the theo part is the God, and the tokos part is the God-bearer. So you all are Theotokoses. So Joseph was confused, though. He really was. And he was bewildered in a mixture of feeling hurt and in a mixture of feeling suspicious. How could this be, he wondered. And Mary herself uttered those same words when the angel visited her to announce the miraculous birth. Now an angel had appeared to Joseph, and Matthew tells us that when Joseph awoke, he did what he was told, and he realized that God was at work in these mysterious things happening to Mary and to him. God's act of new creation was coming forth in Jesus. The child was to be named Jesus, and it means God saves. Jesus, God saves, also known as Emmanuel, God with us. We can think of it as God saves us from our own self-destructive ways by being with us and showing us the way to be. That's how Jesus saves, by showing us the way we were meant to be with each other and with our relationship with God. Now, Advent is Latin for Adventus, which means arrival, appearance, emergence, birth, rise, or development. So like an adventure. And this was really an adventure for Joseph and Mary. And Advent calls us to embark on this adventure, to be brave, but first to prepare a way within us, in the world, and around us, so that we're ready to receive the Christ child. We remember him as a baby born in a stable because his laboring mother was turned away from safe shelter. And that's why our flag is so important outside. It's a sign that this is a safe shelter for those with a different sexual orientation. And there was no safe shelter for Mary or Joseph and the babe. So we remember him as a refugee whose parents crossed the border into Egypt to protect him from potential violence that he was going to receive. So we remember to prepare a way for Jesus. And in that remembering, we are to create a safe place for him to live, to protect him from violence, and to protect him from anything that threatens him. The baby for whom we wait this Advent bears his good news into the world even before we can speak about it. We can hear it in the lengths his parents went to protect him, in the miles the Magi traveled to honor him, in the awe of the shepherds who heard of his birth announced by an angel, and the assurance of the angel that this was good news for all people. Now, Advent illuminates the Christ child's face at borders where refugees seek safe passage, in rural and urban places of poverty and despair, in prisons, and in places where people are segregated and neglected. So in every Advent, there is much at stake for us Christ followers. We have an opportunity to recalibrate our lives and our commitments in the light of God's vision. It is one of the greatest blessings of our faith that God never tires of inviting us to celebrate Advent once again. Christ came to give us a foretaste of the kingdom of God. And so Christ's Advent appears in our caring for the earth and for one another. Christ shows up as we serve and protect the world and advocate justice for all those who are oppressed. This is what Christ came to show us. Even in our deepest, darkest days, Christ's light bursts forth as the glory of God in the flesh to show us that hope, joy, peace, and love are not just for the future someday. They are to happen now. Advent is when, in the midst of the darkness of winter all around us, we are willing to open our hearts to Jesus. Emmanuel, who comes and saves and is always with us. God's greatest gift to us every year is the light of hope, the Prince of Peace, the joyful promise, and the embodiment of love in action. No greater gift has ever been given. And so let's ponder in our hearts a little more about God's sense of humor, which probably helped Mary cope with her blessed and difficult role as the God-bearer, giving birth to our Lord in that bleak midwinter. So I think kids are the best at creating joy and adding humor to Christmas. And so I wanted to share with you this video that I found that I think really captures both the impact of the story and God's humor at the same time.
An angel came to see Mary.
She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, what? Good. Mary, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager and I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby.
And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel. She said, this donkey's fast. Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed.
When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel we're singing.
Glorious. And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one, they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
I've watched that about 5 times now. Well, I also wanted to share that I'm just so proud of being a part of this church, especially at Christmas, when I get to see and advocate for all that this church does to serve others. We gave the Boys and Girls Club much needed supplies through the Deacon's Giving Tree program, and 40 Vietnam veterans will be receiving wonderful food boxes. At least 30 food bags have been given out of the front office this month, and we raised over $2,500 in alternative gift market gifts for orphans and refugees and those in need of free medical care. And we showed hospitality to the preschool and the Vienna Choir and the Boy Scouts and the Handy Capables group, who all had lovely Christmas parties here. And we provided, as always, hot breakfast for over 100 kids every day from the high school. And this year we're adding a Christmas gift card so that they can go to the Lucky supermarket and for $20 try to buy their family something from them for Christmas. Our free Christmas cantata that's going to be this afternoon will bring great joy to all people from our community and to you all through the gift of beautiful music. But it also raises money for FISH, which is such an important program here. This church is a giving, welcoming church throughout the whole year, but it does an especially good job at remembering the real reason for the season and acting Christ-like with love in action at Christmas. What a blessing this church is to not only us in this special church family, but to all those that we reach out and touch. Thousands of people feel blessed by this church, and that takes seriously the call that we accept to be an instrument of God's peace. And so thank you to all here who helped make the giving and all the hospitality possible. Amen.